So, hi everybody. You're here to learn about Open Edge Mobile. A few of your faces are familiar, so who's worked with OE Mobile already? Okay, a few. I'm Shelley Chase. I'm the architect that worked on OE Mobile and am continuing to work on all things mobile as we move forward. With me is Lee Andron.
Hi everybody. I've been with Progress for about 3 months now. I worked with the internet technologies for, you know, those internet tube things for a couple of, maybe the last 20 years or so. Focused mostly on mobile for the last 12 years. And I think we've got a great basis, and now with the new new Node.js technology, we've got a really great way to take almost any kind of back-end logic and make almost any kind of front-end off of it. So I'm really excited to be here with Shelley. She's an amazing architect, certainly making some incredible things. The next couple of releases are going to have some super exciting things where we all work together better and things are easier. So I'm really excited to be here. See you guys.
Yeah. And we just found out about Node.js too. It was very hush-hush, so we're all really excited, but it's all new. It's all new. So I'm just going to have two or three marketing slides because that makes Lee happy. So mobile apps are really important to all businesses, and everything that you see has some kind of mobile app capabilities that help it. And so, you know, you can read these quotes about Gartner's, you know, trends in mobile, but I think Forrester's up top is really, you know, mobile's make or break your business. If you don't have mobile going forward, as small as it might be, right, it makes a difference. So it's something to think about. We put in the platform as easy as can be to add some mobile capabilities, simple ones, and then you can, you know, advance it to whatever you see fit. So what are mobile devices? Tablets and smartphones. Really, the big thing is that they combine telephone capabilities with computing power, right? So what's the biggest difference we have in our smart devices is that they're so powerful now, right? There's a lot we could do. So before, we wanted to do a lot of stuff on the server and then just render pages on the device. We don't want to do that anymore, right? There's a lot of power on the device. There's also things that we want to take advantage of, like offline capabilities, right? Being able to run in an offline mode, not being connected to the server, and the mobile devices are really letting us do that. And as we move forward, we really see that that it's really not going to be about mobile or web. It's really going to be about screen size, form factor, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's on a tablet or it's sitting at your desktop or it's on your phone, right? It's just the fact of what do you want to see and what kind of capabilities do you need in that application. And what you can do on a little small thing, right, is very different than what you can do on a, you know, 12-inch tablet, right? Very different. And of course, the bigger the tablet, the more you get closer to being on a browser type app, right, which is really, really functional using RIA kind of capabilities, right? We can get almost as close to the desktop as, you know, really close to what a desktop app can promise us. So all the different mobile apps, there's lots of different types, right? Utilities come with just about every device that you have out there. There's all the things that we have fun doing and we relax after a long day of work of Angry Birds and Facebook and feeding monsters and whatever else you do. But then there's business apps, right, which is what we're more interested in. Business apps for employees, so used internally. And then the other thing which I think is really important is business apps for consumers, right? And we've done a lot. We focus a lot on employees. Mobile really pushes us to focus a lot on the consumers and how they can access our data and get to it quickly and have it be relevant. So both use cases are really important to us. Why is mobile app development challenging, right? So biggest thing is OS fragmentation, right? We all know Microsoft is phone is taking a lot more, is more probably than when this was taken, which was probably 6 months ago now. Android and iOS are the big players, right? But depending on what part of the globe you're looking at, it's also different. So, you know, there's really all the different OSs that you want to consider. And each one is a different development environment, different programming language, And then if you want to support multiples of them, different platforms, right, you have to have multiple code bases, one in Objective-C, one in C Sharp, one in Java, right, and that can get to be expensive. So the other thing is market demand requires frequent updates, right? Things are changing all the time. And so how are you going to meet that? One of the things, just us in mobile in progress, right? Open Edge, we're used to a pretty long release cycle, right? Mobile, we're on 2 to 3 months, which is different for us internally. And that's just the way the market goes, right? We had Apple came out and put out iOS 7 and said, we are no longer accepting apps that are, you know, built before this version. So we had to get a release out there that built in that version, right? So it's something that you got to really think about, and frequent updates shorten shelf life. So the thing we're all here for, right, is how do we connect to our backends, especially Open Edge, right? So mobile's great. We could look at all these technologies. We could build things in Objective-C and use all their toolkits, but how are we going to get to our existing systems and data sources? And that's where, you know, OE Mobile really helps you do that easily. So what is Open Edge Mobile? So we really took two approaches to mobile at Open Edge. One is a loosely defined architecture where you get to do whatever you'd like. And then we have a prescriptive one, which is called Open Edge Mobile. So most mobile apps can talk REST. That's the preferred way to get to backend services, is through REST. And so we let you define any progress.p class, right, as a REST service. And then that REST service can be exposed to any mobile programming language that you want, JavaScript being the most popular, but you can use GWT, you can use Sentia, you can use, right, whatever you want to go and talk to a REST service. There's nothing platform specific about REST services. It goes over HTTP and JSON. Can't be anywhere. Let's just shut that down. I'm offline. but then we said that's really hard, right? I mean, that we need that. So one of the things we always do in progress, right, and especially in Open Edge, is we make the easy, but we always, you know, we always have people who say, but I need to do this one little thing, right, and I need to customize this. So we always make it totally customizable, right, but try to focus on how do we make it easy at the same time. So the totally customizable is that first one, right? You can do anything you want. But when we looked at that, we said, boy, that's kind of hard, right? If I just want to say, build, you know, take my database table of orders, and people want to look up the status of their order, I don't want it to be hard, right? I want it to be easy. I want that to be really easy to do. And so that's where we came in with Open Edge Mobile, which is a prescriptive architecture. We defined, if you're familiar with OERA, which I'm sure most of you are, Open Edge Reference Architecture. This is really weird.
Sorry.
Oh, and that reminds me, I'm supposed to hit the red button. Okay, promise I'm done. I have to hit the red button. We're going to blow up. No.
Save this stuff that they're dropping the sky.
Start over again.
Yeah. If we didn't hear that. You know, hey, it's the way life is. We're agile. So for Open Edge Mobile, we said, well, we're going to fit into the Open Edge Reference Architecture, right? So what should our services be? Well, they should be business entities, right? That's what business entities are, our service objects that talk to the outside world, encapsulate our business logic, encapsulate our data in Open Edge, right? Provide our data sets, temp tables, whatever we're using, and then, you know, does whatever it does to the back end, right? The front end doesn't have to care about what the database looks like, any of that. So we define this thing called a business entity, which again is not a new thing, it's part of the OERA, but we now put it into the tooling. And we partnered with a company called Exadel, which has a product called Appery.io, and we licensed a version of it for Progress, for Open Edge, for OE Mobile. And that uses jQuery Mobile and Cordova. Cordova is Apache's open source version of PhoneGap. You've probably heard of PhoneGap before. And people use it interchangeably, even though it's not PhoneGap anymore. You'll hear people talk about PhoneGap plugins. Well, that's really Cordova plugins, but. And then it's still using REST, but it's prescriptive content, right? We know what the content looks like. And we do that purposely because you don't have to then worry about building up the REST request and what's in the header and what's in cookies and what stuff can go in the body. We use defaults, and that's what we do. If you want to decide what goes in the cookie, what goes, you know, what things go in a header, what are query parameters, you do that using the first approach. So we're going to spend the rest of the time learning about what is OpenEdge Mobile, right? So the value proposition is write once, run anywhere, but with the benefits of native applications. So being able to get to the capabilities of the device. And we think easiest way to build an OpenEdge application supporting mobile devices. So benefits is integrated tool set. So the mobile app builder is integrated into Progress Developer Studio. Who uses Progress Developer Studio? I want to see everybody's hand.
Right.
So the productivity you get, I mean, the people who use it will tell you, right? The productivity is incredible. A little bit of a learning curve, but it's where you need to be, and it's where all this is, right, to get to mobile. So the UI development, that mobile app builder that we licensed, is in the cloud, runs in the cloud. Okay? So it supports different team collaboration. Business analysts can come in and can use it. You can all get to the same thing. And of course, we want to leverage our existing business logic because that's where all of our effort's in. We want to be able to reuse that. So one of the things we think about when we think about all the different UI technologies is getting the business logic in a place that we can put whatever new UI technology comes on top, right? Because the UIs are changing all the time. You know, all the new Internet of Technology stuff, wearables, all that, right? That's all going to come. We don't want to have to re-architect the application. If we protect our business logic and provide ways to access it, then you're reusing all that, because that doesn't change. Maybe some rules change, but the basic logic doesn't change. So there are three types of mobile apps that you can create. Down at the bottom right is HTML5, which is partial capability, because you can't get to the native all the native device capabilities. So whatever HTML5 provides you, like if it provides access to a camera, then you can use it. And if that browser supports it, right? But you're limited to what, and if some new thing comes out in a device, you're not going to have it, right? It's not going to be there until HTML5 catches up. But the nice thing is, you know, you build it once and it runs everywhere. It's running in a browser. Native, which is over in the other side, right? It's full capabilities, but you're only working on a single platform, right? And you have to write it each platform that you want, you have to write it for. But fastest performance, access to all the device features as they become available. There's definitely use cases for this, right? If you know you're only going to be on one platform ever, right, and you need fast performance or certain graphics or whatever you're doing, that might be a solution for you. For most of the business use cases, you don't need that specific functionality. It's more important to be on multiple platforms, which is where hybrid comes in. So you do the web development in HTML5 and JavaScript, but yet Cordova, PhoneGap, provides access to the native capabilities. It's sort of a wrapper. Tell them to stop bothering me. So you get a lot of the native capabilities, not all, you know, if something brand new comes out, PhoneGap may not have caught up with it yet, right? It may not be in there yet.
But those plugins are fast. There'll be one that's there soon.
Yeah, and that's the other point is besides Cordova, right, there's a whole community that writes plugins. Gee, I need a plugin to do this, right? Signature capture, loading PF files, like anything, PDF files. Whatever you go out and look for, there's something that's there. We're making that easy to put that into your application. So if you were doing native Android development, you need to learn Java, you need a development environment,
Can you go back to the previous screen for just a minute?
I sure can. I think we'll probably make all the slides available. So I'll let you either look at it later or you can get a copy of the slides.
I think I got what I need.
Okay. And the worst part about Android is there's lots of different versions of the operating system out there, right? There's lots of devices with lots of older versions. Android doesn't, you know, force you to move up.
Lots of screen sizes.
And lots of screen sizes. So you've really got a lot to work with Android. For Apple, they really push you, right? They push out the operating system. So most people are on the later operating systems. But you need a Mac, right? If you're doing Apple, that's okay. Objective-C, developer subscription, right? There's just stuff that you need to do to build that. So the approach that we went was hybrid applications, which is that native, which is building it in HTML5 and JavaScript, but using the PhoneGap wrapper, Cordova wrapper. The Gartner quote there, right, is 80% of all mobile web applications will be either hybrid or mobile. So 20% will be native, 80% will be one of the other two. Standards-based solution, which is really important, especially in this fast-moving, you know, environment. We don't want to get stuck into something proprietary that goes away, right? Silverlight, if anybody remembers Silverlight, I worked on that project at OpenEdge. We write the UI code once. Native container we talked about. So you can deploy as either the web app or the hybrid app. So because you're writing HTML and JavaScript anyway, right, and if you don't need native capabilities or if you want to support a device that PhoneGap doesn't have a wrapper for, you can run it in the browser on that device. So for example, BlackBerry, although I believe Cordova has a BlackBerry support now. But you can take that same code that you wrote, run it on a device in any HTML5 enabled browser, and then, you know, if you had a use the camera and there's no, you know, you're running in the browser, you can't access the camera, but it doesn't fall over, it just doesn't provide you that piece of functionality. So you really get both deployment environments and no need to learn device specific languages or development environments, but of course you do need to get into JavaScript, which we try to abstract and hide as much as possible. So let's see what I can demo. So this is just a little look at Progress Developer Studio and the mobile app builder and how they're working together. So Developer Studio is really sitting in here on premise, right? And you can do all kinds of things in there, like build your mobile applications, build your services, build different launch configurations, and then talk to this cloud app builder out here, right? So one thing I'm going to show at the end, and we're going to all keep our fingers crossed that the stars are aligned and the Wi-Fi stays up for the 2 minutes I need. But one of the things, as I said before, we wanted to make it really easy to do something simple. So we have a way called Express Mobile, which is you point to a database table. You don't have to, your application doesn't have to be N-tier, doesn't have to, you know, support App Server. We'll automatically generate all the pieces from a database table to have a running mobile app in 2 minutes. So as long as the Wi-Fi stays up, it works. so we'll try that a little later. But basically what you do is select your database table. The system does automatic checks of, so this is for a development environment, obviously, but really cool if you walk into, you know, a customer and say, we're gonna, you know, connect to your database and I'm gonna show you your mobile app running in 2 minutes. Right, very impressive. It's demoware, but it's very cool. So one of the things it does, because we realized the first release that we did of OE Mobile was there's a lot to configure. There's a lot of things to set up and make sure they're right. So during Express, we do a checklist, and the system figures out if everything's okay or not. It does those green check marks if it is. If not, there's an X there, And if you click on the X, it goes and brings you to where you need to go to fix it. So, and if it can fix it, it does it automatically. So very, very powerful.
What version is that?
So 11.3.2 is what I'm running here. This was in 11.3. Whoops, sorry, I hit the wrong button. So 11.3 is when this came out, and 11.3.2 is best. A little quicker, took a little longer, and 11.3. So we'll take a look at that. So, but if you wanted to build a custom app, we're going to walk through quickly doing, you know, building a custom app yourself, and then we'll look at what Express does for us. So there's really four steps to building a custom mobile app in OE Mobile. The first is to define our business entities, right? Our objects, services that we're going to talk to on the back end. We're going to build the UI, however we want that UI to look. We're going to bind the data together with the UI, right? So get those business entities to talk to that UI we created, and then we build and deploy. So the first step is to define a mobile service. So let's see what I can get to. So so what we're going to do is create new OpenEdge project. All right, I'm going to do pug test. So mobile is a new choice for project types. And if we wanted to do Express setup, we would click that here. We're not going to do that for now. We'll do that next time. So this is just regular, if you are familiar with Progress Developer Studio, this is just the regular next thing about, you know, what AVM are you using. The next thing we get is for our app server code, for our business entity, what app server do we want it to run on? We've configured one called REST Broker 1, which is specifically set up to run for mobile and REST. We're going to say create a mobile service for us on that's going to provide a REST service to that app server. So we now have the app server. This is our REST server or REST adapter. And then we have a mobile app that's going to get created. We could pick phone, tablet. I'm picking templates. So I'm going to pick a session enable. Those are, you know, sample templates that I have, so you won't see as many of those. And then we pick a REST manager, which has been configured. So there's a REST adapter running in Tomcat that's already configured in the box, right? That's also a really cool thing that comes in Progress Developer Studio now. So you've got Tomcat in the box, and we can just select that. And then we're going to do our Sports 2000 database. So what you'll notice is we got something called a mobile apps directory here. And we got a defined services. So the mobile app is our UI portion. And our service is our REST service, which is going to talk to our app server for us. Okay. What I don't know is why maybe it did open. It should have opened the but okay. No. Okay, well, so we'll go build our service. So what we want to do is build our business entity. So if you noticed here on the new, there's this new type called business entity. If I pick that, so we can say pug customer business entity. And on the next screen, I have different choices. So one is I can say for this business entity, I only want to support read-only, or I want to support all the create, read, update, delete features. Can you guys still hear me with that? Yeah, back there, okay. So one of the things I can do is I can select a database table, right? And it automatically will connect the database table, and I get my list that it will generate a business entity for automatically for me. It's one of the things that Express is going to use in the background for us when we do that. We can also do it for a particular business entity. If I pick that, it actually generates the code to talk to the database table. So you get your business entity and tier all up and running right away. Of course, you can change the code. What I'm going to do is select it from an existing .i, right? So I can go find .i. I've got my lovely data set for customers and orders. You'll see that it parsed the .i, figured out what tables and data sets were available in there so that I could select them. I could select an individual table or I can select the data set. Down here, I can say, do I want to keep it as an include file or do I want to copy the schema in locally to that file? I'm going to keep it as an include file. And then exposes a mobile service says, I already want to provide annotations on it because there are business entities that you may not want to expose as REST. You may do it for SOAP. You could do it for lots of other reasons. It's not specific to mobile, right? But if you want to do it for mobile, again, this is make the simple simple, right? Checkbox says, annotate it for me for use of as mobile. And we say finish. We're going to get our file, right? We're going to see our include for our .i file, right? We see a whole bunch of annotations put here, which is going to be used when we generate the mobile service. We'll see that there's a read method created. Again, this is classes. Business entities are always created as classes. You can annotate an existing .p if you want. There's nothing that requires it to be classes, but if you use the code generator, it's going to create a class for you. So you get all these to-dos, right? Because we didn't select a database table. We get these to-dos that say you go and write your code now to read the data, right? This is what you're going to provide for us. And each thing gets annotated, gets a skeleton and gets annotated automatically for you. So what we're going to do there is we want to compile that. So I'm not going to add we'll have one running. I'm not going to take the time to add the code now. But what we'll see is when we created our service, our REST service, but we didn't have our business entity created yet. So the only thing I need to do is go and say, pug customer business entity, I want to include that in my REST service, right? I want to publish that for use. We say finish, and what we'll notice is it generates this JSON file. This JSON file is what we used in the UI designer, right, to know how to talk to this service, this particular business entity. So we'll take a look at that in a second. Does that make sense? Everybody, any questions? Okay, so we defined our mobile service, right? CRUD operations we got. I didn't talk about invoke operations. One thing that you can do is for our type of business applications, right, REST CRUD doesn't always fit, right? Create, read, update, delete, that's great, but you could have a check credit limit, right? You could need to validate something. Those don't fit in the typical REST verbs. So for mobile services for OpenEdge, we added the capability of defining basically an RPC call, right? You can mark a method as invoke, which says, I'm going to send over a bunch of parameters. It's not going to fit the normal REST verbs, but I want you to call it anyway because I need it, right? So we give you any number of invoke operations that you want along with the typical REST operations. Okay, so now we're going to build a UI. I'm not going to build a fancy UI. We're just going to build a quick UI. So back here, we're going to double click on our mobile app. And this is launching the cloud designer for me, hopefully. A little slow. So this is our designer that's in the cloud. You can pick any template that you want. We give you some in the box. You could also create ones that have your own logos. So by default, I created a session enabled app, which says I've got a login page. We have the login page all wired up to do the login and connect to the REST service on the back end. And then you have a detail page where you can put anything you want. Wow, that's an interesting color. So let's look at that. So one of the things you have is a bunch of different themes, colors, right? You can create many of your own themes that you want. We have some that's in the box. iOS 7 is what I like to use. So, as you can see, automatically changed what we have here, right? This, because I was already in here, this didn't, I want to say I wanted to inherit. Somehow these are set up as not inherit, which is, again, I apologize. This is because it's on my test system. So, my bad. So what we want to do here is play some content, right? We want to build something. So let's say that we want to build our list of customers. So I can drag, you can see over here, I've got all my different UI components. These are all jQuery mobile components. You can add in any arbitrary HTML that you want, which means you can, you know, write the code, write the HTML to use any UI component that you'd like. The ones that are in the box are the ones listed here. So I'm going to put a list. We're going to change our list to, say it's a customer list. Customer list. We want to change it to have one item because we're going to use it as a template, right? We want it to show all the customers. So if you do one row, we can do it as a template. And then if we click on that item, this is going to be like a customer. We don't want to have text. We don't want default text in there. So that just sets up our item. Our list here, we can certainly do things like, right, the cool stuff is being able to drag a map. And you could, depending on the customer that you click on, right, we can get the we can get their address, pass it in, get the coordinates, drop a nice little thing. So we do that in the running app, but I'm not going to code that here with you guys. So that's setting up our UI. Questions? I'm going to keep going. Okay, so next step is we want to bind the data to the UI. So we just created our customer list. We just have a one item on it, right? And we created our business entity that we exposed as a service. Well, how do we go and tie those two together? So let's take a quick look at that. So we have something called a JSDO object, which is JavaScript data object. I'm going to explain it a little bit more after. But that's the way that we talk to business entities in OpenEdge. And you can think of it as a data set on the client, right? And we have it do things like sorting and paging and what else to do, Ed? So all kinds of wonderful things.
Add records,
for offline each, support's five. Coming. I'm sorry?
For each.
You can for each through your row. We've got a current buffer record. We call it a row. So you've got your buffer, right? We're duplicating as much of pro data set capabilities in that on the client side, because again, we've got all this power there. And the other thing is being able to work offline. So in 11.4, we hope, we're going to be releasing before imaging in the JSDO, right? So you'll be able to do your changes, send your before image back, and then reconcile it with the database, right? Very cool. So what we're going to do here, though, is we're going to say, okay, JSDO service. So I need to upload a file. Where I'm going to go to is we just called ours, what did we call? Pug, right? Pug something. Am I not in the right place? Should be in the right place. Hang on. Maybe I didn't generate it. Hang on. Let's go back. Pug test. Oh, I never hit next. I don't think I ever did finish. We'll see. He says republish. I probably never republished. So let's publish this guy. Now this is all for development environment, right? When you're publishing to a production Tomcat server, you would export it as a WAR file, and you would get it into your production environment. But we've made it really easy to do in development. 81%. Well, hopefully it created our file for it. Ah! We'll try to ignore that. Hopefully it created the file we need, even if we can't run it. So back in our mobile app builder. What's a demo if it doesn't fail, right? I mean, you wouldn't believe me. We do that on purpose. So let's see if we can find it this time. PDSOE. It's not there. I'm mad now. It's not there. All right. Well, we'll just have to use an old one. I'm sorry. No. That's what I checked just to make sure. But if you did an export, that's where it would go. So we're going to go here. We're going to pretend this is the one that we just generated, right? And so this is a file that represents the business entity. So when we select that, it's going to go and say, it should have asked me. Why does this not work? All right, let's try this one more time. Create new service. Not happy. Let's try that with a different file. I know, I saw.
Some powerful mouse.
No, it's my motherboard has got a problem. Come on, leave it alone. See, this just means I need a new computer. And if I do it in front of you guys, then I'll definitely get a new computer, right? Because you'll put in, you know, comments that says, boy, if her computer worked, it would have been a great demo. Anyway.
Demo was good, except Shelly's PC was
slow. It was too slow, and, you know, all kinds of problems. So, I think I'm going to just go right past this in a second if I can't find what I'm looking for. Sorry, Ansel?
We could use the customer service from the
demo. Yeah, but I can't pick the catalog from there, right? Go to him. Let's try this one. It's not doing it. Okay, well, what we would do, I can't show you what we would do. All right, so we'll just uncover the slides that would show you what we would do. I always have screenshots just in case such an event might happen. So to bind our data, what we're going to do is we have this JSDO object, right? In our case, we have a customer and an order data set. So what we would see in the visual designer is on the left-hand side what that schema looks like. So DS order with like a TT customer and a TT order. And then on the right hand side is the UI components. So I get to simply just drag and drop. So this is what I was trying to show, right? You select JSDO service. It generates these services for you, and I will get this working, but to show after. But creates a list of services. If you notice, create, delete, update and read.
Read is further.
Read. This read. Different reads because it's a data set with tables, which it takes another, there's a whole nother thing about how the JSTO works. And then what we do is on the page, we would add that data source, so read, we add that, and then you can do drag and drop to map the fields that we see in the data set to the fields that we put on the screen. I apologize, I can't show you that live. So the fourth thing, the fourth step is once we did that mapping, we would build and deploy. So different options that you have to build and deploy. You can build using the Cordova wrapper for Android and web, right? You can do, for Android, you can do a debug binary if you wanted to run in the debugger. For Android and Apple, you can do release binaries. You can also export the projects in their native environment. So if you wanted to go into Xcode and add some specific Apple thing to your application, you can do that. Problem is it's a one-way thing, right? We don't suck your changes back in, and then so you'd have to manage that, but you can look at it. Sometimes it's helpful to look at to see what's going on. And then other platforms, which is a name we need to change, which basically means a web app, right? It's something that runs in a browser. And then there's the ability to create plugins, which are basically pieces of an application that you might want to reuse. All right, so what happens here? We generate the web app, so we generate all of the HTML, CSS, JavaScript. So while we're in the Visual Designer, we're dragging the list and creating services. That definition is all stored in metadata. And then depending on the platform that we go to, it generates artifacts. So we're going to generate the HTML and JavaScript files. We're going to, depending on whether you've picked Android or Apple or both, we're going to create these projects that we need, use the PhoneGap libraries with them, do native builds. So we actually have a Mac farm, right, that when you say build in the cloud, we go off to our Mac farm and it goes and it builds it and then sends it back to you, right? For Android, it's just some server machines running Java. And then you get to deploy those to the store, right? To your, so basically what we generate, you then need to take those and submit them to the app stores. We can't do that for you. Apple won't let you. Apple won't take lots of submissions from the same IP address, it knows, even if the names and credentials are different. So that's something you want to do. And then what happens is it will ask you, do you want to save this file when it generates the binaries? So going back though, before we go inside the JSTO, going back to our developer studio, what we can do here, we can do the same thing that we did, that we're doing in the app builder. So we can build it, we can run it, we can back up the code local, we can back it up and bring a copy down. We can export the source, right? So it all lives up in the cloud. That makes some open edge people nervous, right? If you want to keep copies of the generated source, you can do that. It comes right down into here. So that's why we have, and the binary builds will also be brought into here. So that's why we have bin and source. So this is actually, this source is all of the generated code that I was working on in there. Right, so it keeps that connection between the project up in the mobile app builder and the project in my Progress Developer Studio environment. Any questions before we go on with talking? So quick, I don't know what time I'm supposed to finish, probably really soon. So we'll go quick inside the JSTO, and like I said, this could be a whole session on its own. Basically, we have the CRUD operations and the invoke, which is for any validation, any arbitrary method or procedure or function you want to call. It can have any signatures. The properties, you can see these are the type of things that we're adding in. So auto sorting, turning on, case sensitive, right? Relationships between having the relationships enforced when you're doing like updates. All these different methods, because we're open edge customers, so we like to see what all the code is, right? But we hide as much of this for you. This is the JSON file that was generated for the business entity. So here we can see DS Customer is our resource. And schema here, we have an e-customer, right? So that's our temp table. And then it basically, here's our custom, and it just goes down and does all of our properties for us. Underneath that in the data set is our relationship section, right? So what are the relationships between the tables? And then there's an operations section, which are my create, my CRUD operations, and then all my invoke operations.
So it creates a temp table for you? I guess I'm lost here.
Okay. Back here? Where do we want to go?
Yeah.
So it uses a temp table definition.
Right. Okay. And then it's doing the XML, sort of like an XML
thing. Correct. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
It's a catalog definition for exporting. If you think of soap, right, we can think of WSDL, and WSDL had schema for our temp tables, right, if you've done soap services, web services.
Okay, a little familiar with that.
Okay,
yeah, I mean,
so it's the same idea. REST doesn't have any formal definition, contract, agreement, whatever we want to call it. So we've created one that works for resources that we use. Again, this is the proprietary, right? We know what's going on. We're doing both the client side and the server side. If you were doing just REST, you wouldn't be exporting this. This is mainly for our consumption. We don't need this build because I'm not going to go into too much, but this you can see from your OpenEdge app server on the side, right? You can see they map to CRUD operations, and then we've got a couple of invoke operations. So on the client, the JSDO is all dynamic, right? It's loaded from this file. So the operations that it supports are all defined in the file, and you say my customer JSDO dot get order history, right? Dynamically, you can call that method. JavaScript's amazing like that, right? Very flexible, loosey goosey. I don't particularly like it. But Edsel loves it, and that's all that matters. So the other thing we have besides the talking to a data set, a business entity, right, working with our data sets and temp tables, the other thing we have is the notion of a session, right? Session became much harder than we ever imagined. We thought, oh, you just connect to the, right, you connect to a web server, Tomcat, we're happy, everything's good. It's this huge thing to talk to all the different browsers and different responses that they give and different security models that we support, which are anonymous, basic, and form. So there's all this work to, you know, to log in, to establish connection. For 11.4, hopefully we're adding in online and offline events. So at the service level, right, everybody does online and offline at the device level. What we wanted to do is at the service level, right, that service is unavailable. This other service might be fine. So I don't want to say I'm offline, right? It's not that the whole app is offline. It's that particular service is offline. So we're adding that in. And JSDOs belong to a service, right? Of course, it was the business entity is published to a service. You connect to that service, and then you can access your JSDO, your business entities through the JSDOs. And we use the Phil to make everybody that was familiar with ProData sets, right? Phil, Reed, same thing. These are the services that we couldn't generate.
Is JSDO, is that a progress-specific interface? Okay.
JavaScript data object.
Right, okay, but I wasn't sure if this was like an open standard.
We'd love it to be.
Okay.
We're pushing for that, but not yet. Not yet. Marketing. We need, now that we have marketing, right? Why not?
And you can call that JavaScript from Node.js.
That's right. And actually, that's one of the things we're going to talk about, right? Is having that JSDO on the server side in Node.js. How cool would that be? We've been, Edsel and I are like, oh my God, Node.js. We're so excited. So, and the question that was asked in there, right? Is that to replace our app server, right? Of course not, right? Our app server does business transaction, right? Data processing. That's not what Node.js does, right? But there's a lot of things that you need to access that the ABL isn't you know, the best for. And that's where Node.js fits in, right? And the JSDO is written in JavaScript because that's the environment that mobile and browsers are using. So if we need to call something or run that, we got Node.js is a nice back-end framework to do that in. And the servers all handle for you.
Yeah, now, since you guys interface with Cordova and stuff like that, are you looking at possibly going to Lua or anything like that? Or having a Lua version or anything like
so,
that?
Yep, so the question is, you guys are using Cordova. There's some toolkits that have their own languages, purpose languages. Are you going to do that? You know, are you going to go down that direction? And the answer is no. We believe JavaScript is what you should be using. Now we might adopt more frameworks like Node.js, but we're not going to do anything proprietary. So just a quick look at runtime. What's happening, right? So for a mobile app, I mean for a native app, a little bit different. We've got our Cordova stuff here in the native framework, right? But our JSDO catalog, that JSON file, our runtime JSDO, which uses that and processes it, all of our, this is all of our session code and JSDO code to talk to the backend server. This is your HTML5 app, which generated from the mobile app builder. And then that all goes through a single authentication, right, model so that we can talk to different REST services. So under the covers, those mobile services with the JSDO catalog are really REST services with a JSDO catalog. In the first case, the UI is packaged with it. In the second case, it's not, right? For native, you don't really need the UI packaged. You don't need the UI statically on the web server because it's already in, it's already here, right? But that top one could be used by like a browser if you aren't doing native app. So this is the browser version, right? A mobile web app. So here the top picture looks all the same, but the bottom doesn't have that Cordova, right, in native framework. What it does is it has the HTML5 browser, which is a WebKit, right? And then that has just capabilities of doing web stuff and JS core stuff, and it sits on whatever platform the WebKit's written for, right? But you don't have access to that native platform stuff. And of course we have our same OpenEdge background. So there's some demos that you can see that we have up and running. OEmobiledemo.progress.com. Those are up and running, just so you can see some of what you can do. Sports 2013. What do we support? The latest stuff, really. Pricing highlights is that there is the development license for the mobile app builder, and that's an annual subscription. So, this is important for everybody to know what's going on now and beyond. So announcing role-based mobile. So OpenEdge mobile becomes role-based mobile soon. It's really just moving OE mobile into our own DevOps environment. We bought a copy of the source code, so it's now our IP. A lot of you know, sometimes we don't like being dependent on other companies, right, in their future. So we bought it, we really liked the product, we bought a copy of the IP, we want to bring it in-house, we want it to be part of Rollbase and part of OpenEdge. So Rollbase is a nice hosted web platform. Mobile App Builder was a nice, you know, app that runs in the cloud, so it certainly makes sense to put it there. From Progress Developer Studio, it'll all look the same, except you'll see some different, you know, heading and headers and footers. So all OE mobile licenses will get converted into role-based, full role-based licenses. So now not only will you have access to the OE mobile app builder, right, you get access to everything else in role-based too, for however long you've subscribed for the OE mobile license. So hopefully try out, look at some of the role-based stuff too, but all the OE mobile functionality stays exactly as is. And if you have a trial subscription, we're going to restart the trial subscription in Rollbase as soon as we do this conversion. Some new mobile features in 11.4, plan for 11.4. before image support, transaction support. So for anybody using mobile right now, we do it on a per, we do a save really after each record, communicating with the server. Doing the submit means that you can just send the whole thing to a submit method in the business entity, and then it could call the create, update, and delete methods. So you have more control over it. That works really well with the before imaging, as you probably can imagine. Offline notification at the service level, I talked about. Express JSDO services project. Oh yeah, we have to run the Express. So so this is making the JSDO, the Express. Right now the Express is really demo, and it's very dynamic UI. Most people, when they build applications, will be building using those JSDO services that I couldn't generate. This uses those rather than just using a dynamic UI, so you'll have the choice. You can do either one. And then push notification, we're adding the ability to call push notification from an OpenEdge app server. It's very important, so you can send the notifications from your app server and the mobile app. You click a checkbox and you say some stuff and you set up a push notification database and everything works. So, we don't need to do summary. We'll get to questions in 1 second, but let me start the Express and hope that it works. I hope I have better luck than I had before. No, I want Progress Developer Studio. So, we're gonna start this and then we'll do questions at the same time. So, new OpenEdge project, test Express, hug. We're gonna pick mobile. We're gonna say, it says everybody's happy, those are all good. We're gonna say next. We're going to pick our database table as soon as it comes. So we want to do Sports 2000, customer, let's show the name, and finish. And we'll let that go. I think I hit finish. There we go. Okay, so we'll let that go. Questions? Yes?
So data sets, do they map one-to-one with JSDO?
So question is, do data sets map one-to-one with JSDOs? The answer is yes. Yep.
I have a question. Actually, it's, I don't work very much with the mobile and the web services yet, but some of my coworkers that do, not even so much for the mobile, but even if we're just trying to do stuff with the web services,
mm-hmm.
They're finding that there's a lot of difficulty in getting through the documentation and finding what they want, and I'm kind of,
yeah, without specifics it's really hard. If you could get specifics, call them into tech support.
And forums, we have forums that'll, yep, that everybody jumps in to answer. There's some a lot more real-time stuff as well.
Yep, they could get on the forums, but definitely let us know when the documentation needs clarification. We're more than happy, the doc group loves to hear that.
Okay, so...
Ah! I'm so mad! It was just working.
I'll give you my contact.
I swear. So here's my one that works. It just worked 10 minutes ago. I'm so mad. Anyway, we'll have to meet at lunch and I'll prove it. Okay, so yeah, we don't want anybody to be frustrated, so please have them let us know.
So your suggestion,
the other thing is
get on the forums.
Get on the
call
forums.
Support.
Call support and train it. There are videos, there are training, there's web-based training they can do.
Video training.
Other questions?
So now that this is rolling into
a roadmap, rolling into roll, no pun intended.
On the roadmap someplace around source code control and particular states of projects that seems lacking in code, is that something you're working on?
We absolutely are. We actually have a task force back in Bedford that have started looking at that and how we're going to go across all the products. So it's not an easy problem to solve.
Yeah.
If you have, certainly share with me, you know, top concerns that you have, because there's lots of different places we can help, and we need to focus on which ones make the most sense. So. Yeah. Anything else? All right, thank you.